I'm excited today. I'm going to get into prayer today, and I was thinking about prayer, and you know, prayer is essential to the Christian life. Would anybody agree with that? Right, prayer is essential if you're a Christian. And you know, but sometimes I think that prayer can be such a complex topic, or it can be so confusing. It's one of the things you get the most questions about. You know, when you even see the disciples, they're like, Lord, how do we pray? Like, will you teach us to pray? Like, they've seen him doing it. And you know, prayer it's simple. It's conversing with God. It's pretty simple. But if it's conversing, that means that it's two-way, right? It means you speak. Sometimes you have to be quiet. Sometimes you have to listen. We speak, he speaks. And, you know, in relationship, you need two-way communication, right? For it to be effective, for it to be healthy, right? I mean, if you didn't ever be quiet and listen to your wife and all you did was talk, that's not a very good relationship, right? If you have friends that are like that, where you sit down with them and you want to talk to them about something and all you do is listen to them and they don't ever be quiet, you're like, this is not a very good relationship. Like, it's not really working for me because it has to be two-way. And so we realize that with Christianity. We realize that prayer is two-way. It's important for relationship. And how many of you have heard the popular American Christian phrase, it's not about religion, it's about relationship, right? That's what we say all the time. That is good if it's actually true. I mean, if it's true that your walk with God is about a relationship with him, not about, you know, doing things, then that is a good thing. That's a great thing. So the question I'm going to ask right off the bat, I'm going to challenge everybody right off the bat, how's your prayer life? Like, how is your prayer life genuinely? You know, how is it? Because I'll tell you this, that most people say that they pray. I'm part of, you know, the Say No More prayer chain or whatever on Facebook and that kind of stuff. And there's people that are, I mean, I'm not even kidding you. There's people that are probably at the bar, barely able to sit in their bar stool, that are texting on there, oh yeah, I'm praying for that situation. There's people that are going through things that are like, yeah, I'll pray for you, and they don't say a word. I mean, people say that they pray. Some research shows 84% of adults in the U.S. claim that they prayed in the last week. 64% of those claim that they prayed more than once per day. 41% say that prayers are often answered, and 1.5 say that prayers are never answered. So that a lot of people pray, okay? The numbers show a lot of people pray, or at least say that they pray, but I'll tell you that there's people that don't know the Lord that pray, right? These Muslim people that are going to be praying tonight, they don't know Jesus, but they pray, okay? There's people that don't know him that pray. There's people that don't go to church to pray. So is it enough to just pray? Does it accomplish something when you're praying? Is it enough to just throw Hail Marys all the time, right? I mean, you think about a farmer planting seed that's not intentional about it. Aaron, how successful would your farming be if you just got up in a helicopter and just started throwing out handfuls of seed, right? Just, yeah, I'm planting. I mean, when it came harvest time, it'd be pretty rough, huh? Probably have a patch of corn about this big choking each other out. Okay, but so people say that they pray, but is it effective? And I don't know about you, but I want my prayers to be effective. Like, I'm the kind of person that if you're going to waste my time, I'm not interested. And so I don't mind doing things, but I want things that I do to be effective. And that includes prayer. And you know, there's times when I don't pray about things. And it's because when I'm being honest with myself, it's because in the situation, I don't trust God. In the situation, I really, like, I don't value it enough to pray about it, okay? That's because I don't want to pray when something's not going to be effective. I want to know things are going to be effective. So in that point, in that situation, my faith may be down, but I'm going to get into that in just a little bit. I want to know that my prayers are impacting not just my life, but my relationship with the Lord, impacting the lives of others. So in James chapter 5, we see some instruction on prayer. And again, I believe you can converse with God anytime. Prayer can be scheduled. You know that? You can schedule prayer. That's okay. Prayer can be spontaneous. Prayer can be loud or quiet. Prayer can be wordy. Prayer can be simple. Prayer can be long. Prayer can be short. right? Prayer can be pretty complex. You can do it all kinds of different ways. But I want to say that there are some different parts to prayer, even though it's conversation. There are different parts to prayer. And so I want to look at a couple of those real quick. First is adoration. So you think about these as you're praying. There's adoration. And this is just appreciating God for who he is, right? I adore him. I'm in awe of him. I behold his wonder, his beauty. And so it's like realizing his greatness, realizing how great he is, not just in comparison to you, but in comparison to all things. It's worshiping him. Now, the reason adoration can be effective is because adoration, you're filling your heart with the glory of God to the way that it ought to be. You're thinking about him in a position. You're putting yourself in the right position with God, and it makes you look at him in awe, in wonder. So it's effective. Then you have confession, which is pretty clear. It's acknowledging to God our specific sin, asking for forgiveness. And when we confess to God, here's the key is what you're doing when you confess is you are agreeing with what he already sees. Just think about that. When you're confessing something, we think like I'm uncovering something that God doesn't know or I'm doing this shameful thing. All you're doing is you're coming in agreement with a holy God and what he already knows, he already sees. And so you're seeing your life through his eyes, and it brings you to a place of acknowledging that you need Jesus. It's a great thing. Confession is awesome. It's not supposed to bring people down. It's supposed to bring you up. And it's effective because confession leads to repentance. Now, I want to tell you that without repentance, without confession, repentance is worthless. We hear all the time, repent, repent, repent. Well, if you repent without confessing, you're just trying to change your own life, right? Repent, stop doing that, turn around, go the other way. Oh, well, that sounds pretty simple. And then the next day you're like, repent, all right, stop doing it. Okay, stop doing it. It's easy to tell someone to stop doing it, but repentance following confession, now you're in a place where you're like, Lord, I see myself as you see me. I need your help. Will you help me? And now you can repent. Now you can turn around by the power of Christ in you. You can turn around and go the other way. You can change. Next is thanksgiving, appreciating what God does. And so here, you can thank God. You recognize his saving grace. You recognize his provision, his blessing, his protection, his love. And what's awesome here is it's effective because it reminds us that the good we do have in this life is because we have a good God. Man, thanksgiving is so important because you realize that the things that you have that are good are because you have a God who is good. And then the last part is supplication, which is what most of this is going to pertain to. So here you're petitioning God. It's kind of a two-part, either on your own behalf or interceding for others on their behalf according to God's will. So you petition God or intercede, and what you're doing here is you're asking, God, will you intervene? Like, not only do I adore you and I realize how awesome you are, not only have I confessed that I need you, not only am I thankful for the things you do, but now I'm asking, will you get involved? Like, will you do something in this situation to bring change, to bring healing, to bring, increase or whatever it may be? You're asking for him to intervene. And this is effective because you're asking God to take over. Man, is that not the hardest thing to do in the world? Is to actually let God take over. Actually, here, Lord, I'm actually giving this over to you. It's one of the hardest things to do. Why? Because we're controlling people. We like to control our own lives. We like to control our own path. We like to control everything about ourselves. But in this situation, you're giving it over to him. Unless you aren't. Okay? Again, 84% of the people in the U.S. say that they prayed in the last week. And this is probably the type of prayer that they're talking about, petitioning or interceding, right? They're asking God to intervene. It's usually they want God to be the genie in the bottle. It's usually they want God to give them what they want. So petitioning God for something that you need or want or asking on behalf of someone else is the most common type of prayer. But unfortunately, this is the kind of prayer that we tend to see as less effective. in our lives, right? You see, only 1.5% said God never answers prayer. They didn't say how many say God doesn't always answer prayer, because he doesn't always answer prayer. And so sometimes we see that as his failing, when in fact it's not. But I want to look at James chapter 5 and look at why. Why do we pray these prayers that turn out to not be effective? James chapter 5, verse 13 to 18. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is any among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church. They should pray over him after anointing him with olive oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will restore him to health. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, yet he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the land. He prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit. Now, I want you to hear what James is saying to you today, okay? No matter what you're facing, no matter if it's good, no matter if it's bad, you personally need to be communicating with God. That's what he's saying. That's the gist of the whole thing. No matter what the scenario is, no matter what the situation is, first and foremost, you need to be communicating with God. Martin Luther said this. He said, as it's the business of tailors to make clothes and cobblers to mend shoes, so it is the business of Christians to pray. That's your business, all right? If you are a follower of Christ, your number one thing is to pray, to communicate with him, to be in relation with him, not just to say it, to actually do it. So again, this means if you're a follower, pray, talk to him. It should be second nature to us. And you know, most people have a go-to person that they can't wait to tell things, right? Something exciting happens in life. It might be mom or dad. It might be best friend. It might be husband or wife, but you can't wait to go and tell them what happened in your day, right? Good or bad. You can't wait. You're like, I got to go and tell them what has happened. How much more ought to we be communicating in that way with our Lord and Savior? How much more should we be excited to tell him the good that's going on in our life? And how much more should we be wanting to tell him the bad that's going on and asking him to intervene? That's the kind of relationship that we need to have. So we've got to be open and honest with Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, right, he died for your sin. But also, what happened? What did we see torn in two? The veil that was separated us from the presence of God was torn in two, and right there, he gave us access to the throne of heaven. Man, he gave us access to the throne of heaven. You know, in this life, most people think that the most of their need is money, right? I mean, how would it be if your bank was just like, you know what? I'm opening the vault. You have free access whenever you want it. Come and get it. Man, how many more trips are you going to make to the vault, right? How often are you going to the bank? You're like, how much can I take today? And then I'll be back tomorrow because I probably bought a yacht and a new car and a house on the hill and I spent it all, right? We would keep going back. We'd be like, more money? Sure. It's free. I can have as much as I want. There's no limits on how many times I can come. That's what we have in a spiritual sense with access to the throne. You can come as much as you want. You can take all that you need. And if you feel like you didn't get what you needed, guess what? You can come back. And it doesn't have banker's hours. It's never closed. Man, you have full access to the throne of heaven. You can communicate with God Almighty day and night, night and day. Why would we not take advantage of that? How foolish are we when we do not take advantage of that? So James starts by, is anyone among you suffering? Is anyone suffering? He's talking about having trouble, having hardships, having issues in your life. This right here, he's not speaking about physical problems. Are you suffering? Are you going through tough times? Are you being treated unfairly? Are you being treated poorly by people or by life in general? If that's the case, what's your response? Because he tells us what you should do. He says, he should pray. If you're suffering, you should pray. It's as simple as that. Listen, I want you right now today to write it down, whatever you have to do. Convince yourself, commit to pray first. Pray first. It's the very, I mean, this is, we're going to see these are steps that go in order. Pray first. Are you suffering? Go and complain to your wife. No. Are you suffering? Go and complain to your accountability partner. No. Are you suffering? Put it on Facebook. Absolutely not. Under no circumstances do you put it on Facebook. Pray. It's the first thing you do. There's no hidden meaning. There's no hidden, like, hidden Greek definition or anything. It just means you go talk to God about it. That's the first thing that we should do. Prayer is the antidote for a downcast, beat up, weary heart. It absolutely is. William Scroggie, who's a pastor and writer, passed away in the 40s. He said this. He said, pray when you feel like it, pray when you don't feel like it, and pray until you do feel like it. Basically, under all circumstances, pray. You know what? Sometimes I don't pray when I don't feel like it. That's stupid. I'm just telling you, that's stupid to not pray because you don't feel like it. Okay? If you needed money and the vault was open, how many of you would be like, you know what? I just don't feel like going to the bank. They're getting ready to shut the lights off. I don't feel like it. I'm hungry. I don't feel like it. No, you wouldn't do that. You'd be like, hey, kid, get on the bike, go to the bank, get me some money, right? All right? But when you don't feel like it, you should pray anyway. You have open access for the answers for what you need. If you want change, I'm going to tell you some things that don't work. Repaying evil for evil, complaining, feeling sorry for yourself. I may have tried all those things before they've prayed. I think if we're being honest, everybody has at some point in our life. Those things don't work. Change will come through prayer. It will come through prayer. It may not be instant, okay, because prayer sometimes kicks off a process. But I'll tell you what, during that process, God will be at work in your life. That is a certainty. He will be at work in your life. He will strengthen you. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Man, cast your burden on the Lord. How many of you want to be in that place? How many of you want to be sustained by him when you're weary? How many of you want him to hold you and you will not be shaken? I do. You have to pray. James follows that and he says, is anyone cheerful? Is anyone cheerful? Does anyone have joy? Do you have any bit of joy in your heart? Are you in good spirits? Are you in a good mood? When's the last time that you were and you stopped to think, why? Why am I happy? You know, why am I cheerful? Why am I full of joy right now? I tell you what, when you do that, I guarantee you'll find some things that you can be thankful for. You're like, you know what? I tell you what, the reason I'm in such a good mood is because I got a phone call from, you know, so-and-so yesterday. And that really lifted me up. I feel like I'm in a great mood because I spent some time with the Lord this morning. I felt like I'm in a good mood because, you know, my kids made me breakfast or whatever it might be. You can think about things, that's why I'm happy. There's things in your life every single day that you can thank the Lord for. There's things in your life that you're like, you know what? I'm happy. I don't even know why. But the sun is shining, right? How many of you have been happy on a rainy day? I have. It means that I don't have to do anything. I just stay home and chill out all day. You can't go outside. But when we're happy, we're supposed to sing praises. We're supposed to be thankful, and we're supposed to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the things in my life that I do have to be happy for. Maybe I'm suffering in this area. Maybe I'm beat up. Maybe I'm downcast. But you know what? I do have this beautiful family that you've given me. I'm not sitting outside in the rain in a cardboard box on the streets of St. Louis. I do have food in my pantry that I don't even like and don't even want to eat. Like, that's how spoiled I am, right? You can always find reasons to thank God and to praise him. And when we have any bit of joy in us, we should be singing praises to the Lord. He should sing praises. When you're on top of the mountain, listen, don't forget how you got there. Don't forget how you got there. Don't forget who gives you a reason to sing. See, a natural response to a joyful heart is to praise God. That's the natural response to a joyful heart. It's to praise God. When we sing praises, I'm going to tell you what it does. It helps us to see things from a different perspective, right? Especially when we're thankful to God and we're starting to think, you know what? Thank you, Lord. I see all these things that you're doing. When we get in that kind of mode, it helps us to see from a different perspective. And I'll tell you what, maybe in the time of praise, you may find the answer to your suffering. Maybe in the time of praise, and you think about how good God is and how he provides for you, it's going to build your faith and it's going to give you the answer to your suffering. If you're suffering, pray. If you're joyful, sing praises. These are things that we can just do on our own, just us and the Lord. We don't even need another person to intervene. He goes on and he says, is anyone among you sick? Is anyone sick? Now, this verse almost always exclusively gets used for physical sickness. It does include that, but I'm going to tell you, it's so much more than physical sickness. He's not just saying, if anybody has the flu, come down and get prayer. He's not saying, if anybody has back problems, come down and get prayer. Like, we limit God a lot of times by the way that we read the scriptures. This right here, he's talking about physical sickness and ailments, but more than that, when you break down the Greek word, he's actually talking about, are you weak? Are you weak? Are you lacking strength? Do you feel powerless? Has maybe the suffering from just a moment ago, has that moved into sickness? Is that the case? Are you weak today? Are you sick? Are you ill? He says, you should call for the elders of the church and they should pray over him after anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Listen, this should be one of the primary functions of the church, is healing the sick by the power of the Holy Spirit through prayer. It should be a primary function of the church. You know, we are actually commanded to do this. Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with skin diseases, drive out demons. You have received free of charge, give free of charge. Man, whether you're sick in body, whether you're sick in mind, whether you're sick in spirit, man, there is healing that is available to you. Today, there's healing that's available. It's by the power of a miracle-working God. Only by his power, okay? But there are some steps of obedience that we see here. First, again, go back. First, you pray. Have you prayed about it? How many people run to the doctor, and then after the antibiotic's not working fast enough, then they pray, right? Pray first, then go to the doctor, okay? Pray. That's the first thing that we're supposed to do. Pray. Second, praise him. Third, call the elders of the church to anoint you with oil and pray over you. This is so good right here. You know, the oil is symbolic. This oil represents the Holy Spirit and the application of it or rubbing it on. This represents your consecration to God. And so what we're doing there is when you're anointed with oil, it's like saying, we're declaring this one is set apart for the Lord. This person right here who's dealing with this sickness, who's dealing with this illness, We're declaring over the forces of hell that this person is God's. He is set apart. He is special. He is something. He is somebody because he is God's child. And we just put him under the anointing of the Holy Spirit right now. Man, it's so powerful. This is why we do it in the name of the Lord. You notice that. It doesn't just say anoint with oil. It's not just put some oil on there and say fire, say Holy Spirit, whatever. You can do that stuff. But it's in the name of the Lord. This is why. Because he is the one to whom you belong. He is the one who has the power over sickness. It's not the person praying for you. It's the Lord. You're anointed in the name of the Lord. He's the one with the power. And through this act of obedience, we're declaring. We're declaring you as his. We're declaring you as submitted to him. And listen, if you are submitted to him, you know what else has to be? The sickness. If you are submitted to the Lord, if you are in Christ, man, that sickness has to submit to the lordship of Christ as well. Because you are his. We're marking you, proclaiming you as his. So if you are sick, ask the elders to pray for you. Again, it's not limited to physical illness. Verse 15, the prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will restore him to health. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Again, let's just be honest. When we don't pray about something, it's really has something to do with our faith, right? We have a lack of faith, a lack of trust, a lack of confidence that God will do it. And I know that this is true, but I'm saying if we really believe that God could do something about our situation, we would ask him. I'm just being real. If we really believe that God not only can, but would do something about our situation, we would ask him. I'll tell you, my children ask me for help on things all the time. And sometimes they ask me for help on things that I don't know how to do. But they know that if I'm able and if I'm willing, that I will help them. I'll at least give it a shot. Praise the Lord for Google. I'll look it up. I'll just figure out how to do it. But you know, when it comes to us, there's a lot of times where I think we think about it and we're like, I don't think God wants to do that. I don't think he would want to heal me. Or is it really his will to heal me? Just ask him. Why would that prevent you from asking? If I needed Donald's help with something, I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to be like, you know what, Christy, I thought about asking Donald, but he probably doesn't want to help me. He probably won't do it. No, I'm going to ask him. I'm going to let Donald tell me no. Right? If he wants to say no. But he probably wouldn't. He'd probably tell me yes. Why do we do that with God? Why do we say no? What right do you have to say no for God? Have you ever thought of what right do you have to decide that his answer is no, I'm not willing to help my child who I love, who I died for, and who I said that I will provide all their needs? Why would we decide on his behalf that the answer is no? The prayer of faith will save the sick. Listen, when you come and you come down and we pray for you at this altar, I'm going to tell you one thing that we have, and that is we have faith. We believe that God is who he says he is. We believe that God can do the things that he says he can do, and we believe that he is Lord over all, and that includes every single thing that's going on in your life. All right? We might not have the faith to pray for ourselves, and that's okay. That's the whole point here. Have you prayed first? Yep. Have you praised and worshiped the Lord? Yep. Still dealing with it? Yep. Come and have someone else pray for you. Go down the line of progression here. See, sometimes we just don't have the faith. We don't have the strength. We don't have the gumption to pray. Come to someone that does. Just come to someone that does. The prayer of faith, this is what it is. It's believing in God, but it's also trusting him with our situation. It's having a confidence in him, and it's through that kind of prayer that the Spirit of God moves. Through the kind of prayer that, you know what? We trust you. We have confidence in you. We are giving this over to you. We believe that you are Lord, and through this, the Spirit of God will move. This is why we offer prayer times at the end of our services most of the time, because we believe that whether one person comes down or whether 20 people come down, we believe that our God can and will move through the hearts and the lives of the people that are down here. We believe it. I love what James teaches here. He says the prayer of faith will save the sick. This is what it means to save, to deliver. In this instance, to deliver, to save from evils which obstruct deliverance. The prayer of faith will save you from the things that are obstructing your deliverance. They will save you from the evil that has infiltrated your life. They will deliver you from your situation. And you won't have to be weary anymore. Man, how many of you have been weary? The prayer of faith says that not only will it remove the obstruction from your deliverance, but you will no longer have to be weary anymore. It's over. The prayer of faith will remove that from your life. So if you're worn down, weary, even to the point where you feel like you don't have enough faith to pray on your own, you feel like you don't have the trust in God that you need, you feel like you don't have the confidence that he's going to do or able to do or willing to do what you need, you can't pray. I'm going to tell you what, through the prayers of others, God can deliver you from that weak state. That's a sickness. It's a sickness when God's people are too weak to trust in him. But he says, through the prayers of other people, I can deliver you from that. I can deliver you. I can free you from those things. He can deliver us from a weak state. And sometimes, you know, we are sick in spirit because we're weak in body. You know, like I've been weak in body for so long and it's got me down. It's got me beat up. I'm going to tell you what that doesn't do is that doesn't change who Jesus is. Your circumstances, your situations do not change the fact that he is Lord over all, that he holds all the power, that he can overcome every situation. What you've got to do right there is you've got to get reconnected to the vine. You've got to get reconnected to the vine. And if you're not able to do it on your own, listen, you don't have to. You come and you get plugged in and get connected through somebody else. You come and get connected to someone else. And when you do this, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he can restore your health. He can restore your health. This is what it means to restore your health. It means to arouse from the sleep of death to life. It means to stir up. Man, if you are weak, by the power of God, he can stir you up. He can mix it up. He can, what seems dead and beat up and just driven down, he can bring it to life. Man, this is good. All right? Don't give up ever because you are weak. It's the first thing people want to do when they're weak is they want to give up. Don't give up because you're weak. There's no reason that we ever have to just accept what's going on in our life. Man, if you are born again, if you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you don't ever have to accept a crappy life. I'm serious. You do not have to accept it because that's not what he died for. He died for you to have life and to have life more abundantly. A good life, a life walking in victory and in power. All right. If you're weak in faith, anything done in faith is anything not done in faith is sin. But I tell you what, our God is a loving God. He says he's willing to forgive. He's willing to heal. He's willing to restore, even if we've missed the mark, right? Sometimes we're weak and it's our fault. Sometimes we're going through things and it's our fault. It doesn't matter that you missed the mark. What matters is that you aim again. That's what matters. Try again. Verse 16, he says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. There's power in confession. Tremendous power in confession. I found even in my own life, there's areas of of confession, and I'm not even just talking about confession to the Lord here. I'm talking about to other people. It's what he tells us. Confess your sins to one another. You know, sometimes we know that we can't hide sin from God. Who in here thinks that they can hide sin from God? Okay, probably everybody knows that. You know that you can't. It doesn't mean that you don't try, but it means that you can't, okay? So we know that we can't hide sin from God, but again, we try. We can totally hide sin from people. How many of you know for a fact that you can hide sin from people, right? I mean, years and years and years of living in this or that or the other thing that nobody knows about but yourself, and we can hide sin from people. But I'm going to tell you what, once you reveal it to a person, dude, this is a game changer. You reveal your sin, you confess your sin to another person, and it will change your life. It will bring healing. It can make you feel whole. Now, I'm talking about righteous people that will care for you and help you, not somebody who's going to go and tell somebody else. Not somebody who's going to shout it from the mountaintop, not somebody who's going to put it on the prayer chain, right? Okay? There can be total healing in your life by confessing what you're going through, what you're dealing with to another person. It's got to be somebody you trust, okay? It's got to be somebody that you trust. First, find somebody you can confide in. Find somebody you can confide in. Again, not to tell them what others do to us. Not like you won't believe what, you know, my spouse did to me or whatever. And so here now, this is what I did. Tell me I'm justified. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about confession. People that you can tell how you feel, what you've done, what you're going through. But it's got to be the right people. It's got to be people that will encourage you, that will build you up. People that know grace. It has to be somebody who understands grace, who's not going to beat you over the head with a hammer because you're a loser and I cannot believe that you did that. I would never do something like that, right? That's not the grace of God. The grace of God isn't, oh my goodness, you did that? No, the grace of God is, man, thank you for having the courage to share that with me. Thank you for being bold enough and brave enough to admit to another person the things that you're going through. Let's pray. Man, God is a forgiving God. God is a healing God. God is a life-restoring God. Let's take this to prayer. And I will pray with you as many times as necessary. I'll check in with you as much as necessary. Man, confessing to another person can be powerful. James goes on and says again, the urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. A person that's in right standing with God is what he's talking about. Somebody who's in right standing with God. If they have faith, if they pray with fervency, this means being serious about prayer. Okay, serious, intentional prayer. Prayer that's going to have purpose and have effect. This is the I mean business prayer. How many of you know some people, you know, if I go to this person, they're going to pray for me and it's like, they mean business. That's the kind of people you want to go to for prayer. I'm serious. The people that are like, I mean business. We're going to get after this. James says that this type of prayer is powerful. It is like a force to be reckoned with, right? A person who prays with this urgency, with this fervor, with this passion. It's the kind of prayer that is effective in a person's life. It doesn't mean that they have to be a screamer, okay? There's some people in this church, especially some ladies in this church. I don't know why mostly guys are loud and ladies are quiet when it comes to prayer, but there's some ladies in this church that pray, and they pray pretty quiet, soft tone, and it shakes the gates of hell. I mean, like, if you don't feel the power of God when they're praying for you, you need more prayer, okay? I mean, but what I'm saying is, like, sometimes, I mean, they're soft-spoken. They're just, it's about this right here. It's not about the volume of your voice. It's not about the words that you use. It's about the heart that is behind the prayer. And that's what he means by the fervent, powerful, effective prayer. It's that your heart is in it, and you mean business. You're not doing it out of obligation. You're not doing it to be seen or so somebody can be like, oh, well, that person's a great prayer warrior. Who cares about that? Is God moving through the prayer? It's all about what's in the heart that is praying. If you're suffering, you pray. If you're cheerful, you sing. But if you're sick, you come. You come and have people who are right with God pray over you. This is an effective order of prayer, and God does move in response to prayer. And maybe you know that. God does move in response to prayer. He does empower his people to shake heaven and earth, to move heaven and earth. And I'm going to tell you what, God does this through ordinary people. God does this through ordinary people like you and like me. James 5, verse 17 and 18, wrapping up here, he tells us, gives us this encouragement at the end, and he says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, yet he prayed earnestly that it would not rain for 3.5 years. It did not rain on the land, and then he prayed again. The sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit. And just a man with nature like ours. How many of you read some of these people in the Bible, and you're like, you think of them as like superhuman, right? You think of these people as like they weren't even human. They're like, had some kind of superpower to pray like that. And we do it with all kinds of people. You do it with athletes, movie stars. You like think they're these great, tremendous people because they do certain things. They're just ordinary people, right? They may be people with some kind of gifting or whatever, but when it comes to the people in the Bible, Elijah was just a man like you. He's just a man. A man who had faith, a man who prayed effective prayers. See, it's God's plan for people to communicate with him and for him to respond. That's his plan. And there's nothing too big, nothing too small. All things are possible through Christ. You know, sometimes you're just weak and you can't do it. We need help. God has a plan for that. It's called his people. It's called the church. It's called his body. This is why I don't believe in, well, I can just be a great Christian and not go to church. Good luck with that. Really, sincerely, good luck with it. Because what are you going to do when you're weak? What are you going to do when you're too weak to do it on your own? You're going to fold up shop. Like, I can't do it anymore. I give up. God's plan is to use his people. And when you're not strong enough to stand, someone else is. When you don't feel connected to God, guess what? Someone else is. When you don't have that faith and you're like, you know what, I don't even feel like praying, I'll tell you what, there's someone else who does. And they will pray with you. Isaiah 59:2 tells us, but your iniquities have built barriers between you and God. Your sins have made him hide his face from you so that he does not listen. Listen, come confess. Pray with one another. How many of you know that every single person is born terminal? Right? This is a temporary life, a temporary body. It was never meant to last forever. Everyone has their issues. But everyone has access to the God who can change those issues. Everyone has access to the God who can bring healing to those issues. You would stand with me? Now, this is what I don't want to do. I do not want to focus on whether it's God's will, whether he can heal, whether I should come down for prayer about this. The whole premise of this whole thing is your responsibility is to pray. Your responsibility is to pray, not to answer for God, not to try to figure out what he's going to say. It's to pray. Trying to figure out whether he will do it or not, that's not faith. That's you trying to have control. We're going to let God be God, and you can be you, the broken person who needs him desperately. Know that he can. Know that it may not always look the way that you want it to look. Hello, right? There's God's failure in our eyes is when he doesn't answer prayer the way that we want him to answer it. It doesn't look the way that I thought it was going to look. That doesn't mean that God doesn't answer prayer. That just means that you set unreasonable expectations on an almighty God who knows way more than you do. Ephesians 6:18, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. Stay alert in this with perseverance and intercession for the saints. Listen, there's prayer and then there's effective prayer. We're going to pray effectively today. This morning, for anybody who needs prayer, I want you to come down. First thing I want, if you haven't prayed on your own for yourself, that's the first step. If anyone's suffering, you pray. If you've done that already and you haven't seen answers, you haven't seen results, you're still waiting, I want you to sing psalms. I want you to worship him. I want you to thank him for who he is. If you've done those things and you're still in need, you're sick in body and spirit, emotionally, you're wore down, I want you to come to Mark and I. We'll be down here and we'll anoint you with oil and we'll pray over you in the name of the Lord. Man, we are going to pray prayers in this place that are going to shake heaven and earth. We're not praying empty prayers just for the fact of praying prayers. We are going to call upon a mighty God and ask him to intervene and to change our lives today. So I want you to do those things. If you have a need in your life, if you've prayed about it, if you've worshiped and praised the Lord, you still have a need, I want you to come down and receive prayer. Otherwise, do those things. But let's lift the name of the Lord on high. Let's glorify his name because he is mighty and he is glorious this morning. Amen.